that's a tradition that comes from the very earliest of church times. It's how we greet each other on Easter. Let's try it again. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen and amen. In Matthew chapter 28, it's one of the places in the Bible we hear the story of when it was discovered that the tomb was empty. Starting in verse 1. After the Sabbath, at the dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. Part always feels a little anticlimactic to me. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." It is Easter today. The tomb is empty. And this story right here, this story right here is the hinging point of the history of humanity. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. The entire course of human history hinges on the one single fact that when the greatest power the world had ever known, the Roman Empire, crucified Jesus, Jesus conquered the greatest power the world would ever know, and that is death. You can argue what you want about generals and statesmen, philosophers and scientists. You can spill more ink than all the pages in the world contain. But even after you do, there will still be one fundamental question on which our view of human life hinges. Did the man, Jesus, who claimed to be God incarnate, truly rise from the grave? Has death been conquered? And when the ladies came to the tomb that day, they found the answer was yes. When Jesus rose from the grave that day, he answered the question, what happens when we die? What is life for? What does life mean? He answered the question of whether anybody could ever be more powerful than death, the one thing men and women feared more than anything else. And the answer is yes. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the risen Lord of all creation, is more powerful even than death. He has conquered the enemy. He has defeated sin. He has erased the power of death and hell. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15 for a second. We're going to start in verse 20. "But Christ indeed has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ, all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, and then when he comes, those who belong to him. And then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom of God to the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death." Let's break that down for a minute. Verse 20 says, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." The first fruits are the beginning of the harvest. Okay, Christ's resurrection shows us what God's harvest looks like. What is God's harvest? The people he has grown up for himself. Humans who will be raised from the dead and taken into his glory. We see in Christ what we can become because Christ became fully man, so that we could see a human being live a life and then live past death. By knowing that the grave is empty, we know that our grave can be empty too, because we have seen that Christ has the power to do that. Verse 21, for since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ will all be made alive. The course of human history was thrown off course by one man and his wife, the first man and his wife that there ever were, Adam and Eve, by choosing sin over obedience to the God that created them. They obliterated paradise. But just as one man brought about destruction, Christ the Messiah brought about new life. He set the course of human history back on track in the same way it had been set off track by the actions of a man. Just as from one man flowed the course of human history toward death, now through Christ, the course of human history flows towards redemption. God is in the business of redemption. Verse 23, but each in turn, Christ the first fruits, and then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Others actually have returned from the grave. Doctors can bring someone back to life when they've been dead and floating above their body and looking down at it, and they can tell you things in the room that happened. We have souls. We know that much. But those people eventually die their natural death. Lazarus was brought out of the tomb just to describe Jesus' power that was possible. But Lazarus eventually died. Christ was raised for all eternity. Christ was raised with a resurrection body. Christ was raised and then taken bodily up to heaven. He did not die again. His work is not done until the gospel has been preached to all nations. And at that time, he will return. And what do you have to be to come back? Alive. He is alive and seated at the right hand of the Father. He is present to us through the Holy Spirit, through whom he has set in motion the redemption of the world. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Christ conquered death and is in the process of destroying death for every person who will receive him. He is risen, he is alive, and he is coming back. In Christ's resurrection, God showed us who he is. We don't serve an angry God who delights in retribution. We don't serve a distant God who abandons his creation to its own devices. We serve a resurrected Lord who gave his own life to bring about the redemption of humankind. We serve a God who is in the business of redemption. When he came to turn the hinges of history, he came to turn them toward life. He came to turn them toward redemption. We serve a God who gave his life for the redemption of the world. We serve a God who looked at the broken and fallen people of the world, and instead of heaping on condemnation or walking away, he chose to make the sacrifice necessary to offer redemption and restoration. We serve the God who saw the groaning of creation and answered with the victory of resurrection. Our God, the one true God of the universe, is a God of redemption, restoration, victory, resurrection, new beginnings, second chances, and 102nd chances. We serve a God who made his character and power known through the resurrection. Have you ever felt backed into a corner? Have you ever felt trapped, like there is no way out of the situation you were in? Do you ever feel like you're in a place where things could not possibly get better without getting worse? Do you ever feel like every way you look, there's no way out? Imagine what it would feel like to be inside a cave behind a giant boulder that has been rolled in front of it with no blood left in your body. That was Jesus on Good Friday. That was Christ when he was laid in the tomb. But friends, that tomb is empty. On the third day, Christ arose. The resurrection shows us God is in the business of redemption. There is no more such thing as no way out. If Christ can defeat death, he can defeat anything else. Do you ever feel hopeless? Like everything you have planned has come to nothing. Sometimes there are low points in our life where we feel like everything we have planned has come to nothing. If we lose a job or a family member, we've been through a divorce or an illness. I pray you've never felt that way, but sometimes we do. We feel hopeless, like all our dreams have just been washed away like a sandcastle. Now imagine how the disciples felt when the man they believed was going to redeem their nation was lying dead in a tomb. Luke says they said, "We had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel." And it looked like all of that hope was completely gone. We had hoped. They had watched him suffer and bleed and die. All their hopes had been pinned on a man who was gone. But friends, that tomb is empty. On the third day, Christ arose. The resurrection shows us that God is in the business of redemption. There is no such thing as hopeless. There is no such thing as all hope being lost. When you think all hope is lost, place your hope in the one who could not be stopped even by death, and you will have hope. Have you ever felt like the powers of this world were too much for you to handle? Have you ever felt like the structure of the way things are is preventing the right thing from happening, thwarting every effort at success and happiness? Have you ever felt like the deck was totally stacked against you by somebody else who shuffled the deck? Imagine how the disciples must have felt. They thought that Jesus was going to be the savior of the nation, but the Roman Empire came along, said no, and executed him. The powers that be didn't want it to happen. And it looked like the powers that be had won again. They were going to maintain their version of the status quo. Jesus was in the grave. But friends, that tomb is empty. On the third day, Christ arose. The resurrection shows us that God is in the business of redemption. And when you think the powers of the world are too great, place your hope in the one who overcame the powers of the world. Have you ever felt like your own sin was too much to bear? Have you ever felt like you have made so many mistakes that you can never live up to what you're supposed to be? Have you ever felt like it would be impossible to undo all the screw-ups and get back where you belong? Imagine what the disciples must have felt looking at the only person who ever lived a sinless life be apparently dead without achieving his mission. What hope could there possibly be for anyone else if the one who was without sin could not even achieve the mission that he felt that he was called to? If the one with the sinless life was dead and what he was doing was left unfinished? But friends, that tomb is empty. On the third day, Christ arose. Not only was Christ sinless, but he bore our sins. Christ bore our sins. That's why he was in that grave, because he was bearing our sins and carrying our sins to hell without carrying us to hell, bearing the sins of the world. But even then, Christ arose. The resurrection shows us that God is in the business of redemption. Christ has borne the sins of the world, and he has borne your sins. Every single thing you have ever screwed up right to this moment, right now, Jesus has already placed it on the cross and beat it. And everything you could ever possibly screw up from this minute until the judgment day, Christ has already placed it on the cross and he has beat it. Romans 10:9 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God was raised from the dead, you will be saved." Saved from your sins, saved from the messes you've got yourself into, saved from death and given eternal life, saved from yourself and given the Holy Spirit. There is nothing that Jesus cannot overcome. Jesus is in the business of redemption. There is no life that cannot be restored. The offer of restoration is extended to all. The tomb is empty, and Jesus is alive. He was alive on the day of the resurrection. He is alive today and seated at the right hand of the Father. And what's the number one reason we can see that he is alive? Is it because of all the eyewitnesses in the book? Yes. Is it because 10 of the 11 people who claimed he was resurrected were killed for it and not a single one of them recanted, and there has never been anything like that in history? Yes. And plenty of others. But of all the reasons I know, I believe that the best evidence of all that Jesus is alive today is in the continual impact of what he has done on the world. Every single day you see it, It continues the movement on countless souls throughout the ages. You know the wind when you feel it blow. You know the sun when you see it shine. And you know Christ is alive when you see him about the business of redemption all over the world. Redemption that is unmistakably coming from the gospel that he preached. Think about it. The Roman Empire didn't want a resurrected Lord. They had a Caesar who felt threatened by a resurrected Lord. They crucified the Lord. And after he rose up, you would think they'd get the idea, but no, people are stubborn. They persecuted his followers, saying, "There is no king but Caesar. You must bow to Caesar." And people thought Christianity would never survive the hostility of the Roman Empire when they told people to bow to Caesar instead of bowing to Jesus, or they would be killed. Well, guess what? Caesar's dead. And Jesus is alive. And then it's funny how history turns. Christianity swept the Roman Empire. People saw what was going on. And then Emperor Constantine legalized Christianity, but the empire fell into decay. And what did people say? People are historically short-memoried. They said, "Oh, well, Christianity is just this Roman thing. Once the empire falls, it'll be gone." Well, guess what? Constantine is dead, and Jesus is alive. They said Christianity couldn't survive without Charlemagne and his empire. He had been the savior of Christianity in the Middle Ages. Charlemagne is dead. Jesus is alive. Voltaire came along and said that Jesus was a myth. Voltaire is dead. Jesus is alive. Nietzsche said that God was dead. Nietzsche is dead. Jesus is alive. Hitler nearly brought down Western civilization, what we thought of as Christendom. Hitler is dead. Jesus is alive. Winston Churchill saved Western civilization from Hitler. Winston Churchill is dead. Jesus is alive. No hero but Jesus, the risen Lord, can save us. And no enemy can stand against Jesus, the risen Lord and Christ. The nations rise and fall. The powers rise and fall. But you cannot pick out a single year in history when it would take you books and pages to document the redemption of Jesus Christ that was going on at that time, no matter what else people were doing. The gospel continues to advance. Christ is alive, and God is in the business of redemption. Alexander conquered the Mediterranean rim. Caesar conquered Gaul. William conquered Britain. Cortez conquered the Aztecs. Napoleon conquered Europe. Hillary conquered Everest, and Jenner conquered smallpox. NASA conquered the moon. Someday someone may conquer cancer. Jesus conquered death. Only Jesus conquered death. Only Jesus can say, "I've been through that and I made it." The one enemy that every man and woman must face. Only Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who loves us and died for us, has conquered. And there is nothing the world can offer you that is better than what Christ offers us through the resurrection, through the conquering of death. The world can offer you power. Christ offers eternal life through the power of the resurrection. The world can offer you money. But Christ offers citizenship in a kingdom that can never perish, spoil, or fade. The world can offer you its version of love. If you love me, I love you back. Christ offers a love defined by undeserved sacrifice. The world can offer you temporary success. Christ offers the unchangeable victory of the resurrection. The world can offer you fame and recognition. Christ is being proclaimed all over the world today. He is the most famous man that ever lived because he wasn't just a man. He was God. And one day every knee will bow to the King of Kings. The world can offer you whatever it thinks the good life is. But Christ has conquered death once and for all to offer you the eternal good life. He bore the sins of the world. He suffered and died on a cross. He rose from the tomb. He ascended into heaven, and he is coming back for us. He is alive, and he is coming back for us. As Revelation 19 tells us, he will come riding on a white horse with eyes blazing like fire, many crowns on his head, and his robe dipped in blood, a blood that was shed for you and me on the cross. King of kings and Lord of lords, the resurrected Lord of all creation, the Messiah who delivers us from our sins. He is real. He is alive. He is coming back. The victorious King of Kings. As Romans 5:1-2 says, Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope that is the glory of God. The resurrection is about hope. The resurrection is about promises coming true. It's about a glory that can't be tarnished. Christ is in the business of redemption. While he was on earth, he made the lame walk and the blind see. He set right things when they were wrong. And when he returns, he will bring justice to the nations. And until he returns, he calls us to make disciples, to bring his redemption about in any way we can. He calls us to bring the good news of the kingdom of God to every corner of this earth, because he is in the business of redemption and wants all men and all women to be redeemed. He calls us to feed the hungry and visit the sick and take up the cause of those who are unheard, because he is in the business of redemption. He is in the business of setting things right. That's the kind of God we serve. He has called us, he has called us, he has called you and me to be agents of his redemption in this world. He has called us, he has called you and me, he has called the people in this room, the people who are declaring his name this morning, all around the world, from Sydney to Paris, everywhere, there are people proclaiming his name this morning to be agents of redemption in this world. Who doesn't want a second chance on life? And that's what we have to offer. That is what we have to bring about. That's what Jesus is in the business of: redemption, bringing life out of death, bringing blessing out of chaos, bringing joy out of disappointment. What does that mean for us? It means if you are a follower of Christ, if today you are a follower of Christ, and if from now on every room that you walk into, you say to yourself as you enter through the door, "I am in this place to bring about redemption," you would be exactly right. You are an agent of, you are a bringer of the redemption of the kingdom of God. If for the rest of your life, every room you walked into, you walked in that room and said, "I am here to bring about redemption," you would be exactly right about yourself. Now, it's brought about through Christ, not our own power. But if you said that, you would be exactly right about yourself. Ephesians tells us to be imitators of God and live a life of love, the redeeming work of love that Christ has demonstrated through his death and resurrection. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us how to live in light of the resurrection, how to think about it. "For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed," he's calling our body a tent, so now we know we're going to get a resurrection body someday, "we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven," and he means our body, "not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling," our heavenly body, "because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but clothed instead without our heavenly dwelling." I want to stop for a minute here. C.S. Lewis always said, "Do you think a fish knows it's wet?" No. "But do you know that something's not quite right about you yet?" Yes. You know you were made for something else. You know you were made for something that's coming. "Because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal might be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us his Spirit as a deposit." Whole other sermon, but the Holy Spirit is in you, guaranteeing what is to come. "Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say. We would prefer to be away from the body, home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him. While we are still in this world, we walk by faith, pleasing the Lord, representing the Lord," continuing the scripture, "whether we are at home in the body or away from it, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Skipping to verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Once we know the resurrection is real, it completely changes our view of how things work. Back to the scripture. So we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new is here. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself through Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed us to this ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who has no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Who are we now? We are Christ's ambassadors of the world we belong to, but do not yet inhabit. Who are we now? We are those about the business of redemption, just like our Father in heaven who has redeemed us. Who are we now? Those though whom we long to be with Christ know we have work left to do in this world because we are representing him to the people around us, walking into every room, knowing I am here to bring about God's redemption in whatever way I possibly can. We are agents of redemption, agents of reconciliation, agents of a kingdom of redemption, agents of a Savior who died and rose again, conquering death and offering a second chance to every man and woman on the face of the planet. We are agents of forgiveness. We are agents of restoration. Every day we live the resurrection. We like to use that Tony Campolo phrase this time of year. It may be Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's a phrase for hard times, remembering that you go through the hard time to the resurrection. And really, the truth is, for Christians, it's always Sunday. It's always the resurrection. That's our reality right now. The second coming's not here yet, but every day is the resurrection. Every day is the resurrected reality of the Spirit being with us, pushing forward the gospel to the ends of the earth. Every day we live the reality that we have been trusted by God with the work of redemption in this world to bring hope from hopelessness, to bring good from evil, to bring about reconciliation of the creation to the Creator. I pray that the world can see that in us. I pray that the world can see that in the Christians that they meet. The resurrection is the one fact on which all of history hinges. Without it, death is still a mystery. Without it, the purpose of life is still uncertain. But with it, everything changes. With it, the flow of history moves away from death and uncertainty and destruction and moves toward life and certainty and redemption. And the important question becomes, are you with that guy? I don't know who you want to be with when the time comes. But I want to be in the camp of the one guy who came back out of the grave once he went into it. That's exactly where I want to be. If there is anyone in history I'm going to stake my claim to, anyone available of the 7 billion people who are alive, I think I'm going to pick the one who's alive at the right hand of the Father. I think I'm going to pick the one who's already come out of that grave. The important question for each one of us becomes, are you with him? Are you going to be with him when he comes back? For those of us who claim Jesus as Lord, today is the most joyful day on the calendar. We celebrate the day our Lord and Savior rose victorious from the grave, purchasing our freedom and securing our future with him. And for those who know and believe that's true, but you've never received Jesus as your Lord, what better time to do that than today on Resurrection Sunday? If you believe that's true, you believe he raised from the dead, but you've never made him yours, you've never said, yes, he's mine and I'm his and I want to belong to him, what better day to do that than Resurrection Sunday? All of history hinges on the resurrection of Christ, and so does the fate of every life in this room. I don't know about you, but when the end of time comes, I want to be with the guy who came back from death. To make that decision is simple but profound. If you believe he was raised from the dead, and you say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord, forgive me. The Bible promises you will be saved. If you want to do that for the first time today, you've never done that before, we invite you. It is profound, but it is not hard. We invite you as we close the service today and come and claim the victory of the resurrection. Claim the victory that has brought together people around the world today to celebrate the one moment when all of history changed. You can be a part of that. And we invite you today to bring that decision forward. You can just come straight down the aisle. If there's anything else you want to bring to the church family, we invite you. As we sing our final song together, Barbara's going to direct us and show us how that'll be. We invite you to come forward. Happy Easter, everyone. Christ is risen. Let's stand together.